thought it was most appropriate. Last night when we came in, one of the video cameras was aimed at the sky. And I thought, well, that'd be better than remembering me anyway. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If I guess we would assign a title to the message, which I rarely do. I rarely have a point, much less a title. Title of the message would be Two Redemptions, and don't get too bent out of shape. I don't intend to preach a Campbellite message or anything like that. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. Paul begins most of his writings that way. And what more could you say to somebody than grace be to you? Grace is a word that covers every problem in this building tonight. Amen. What a word. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. How precious did grace appear the hour we first believed. What a word, grace. Doesn't matter where you are at. Grace is a word that can work for you. What a word. What a thought. Oh, how you can rest in that one word, grace. I feign myself to be an expert in grace, not like Brother Hamill, who is an expert in teaching grace. I'm an expert in needing grace. Experimentally, have dove many depths of grace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, talking about the saved. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We may not tonight have all the physical blessings that we may crave, but we've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Again, we may not have all the earthly blessings in earthly places, but in salvation, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in spiritual places. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We've been bought back through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those of us that are saved, it's because there was a day that we understood that God had brought us under conviction and we understood that we were lost sinners. And we received redemption through His blood. On that day, we received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The redemption of our soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. He continues to expound on this. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. According to that great storehouse of the grace of God, we have received the forgiveness of sins, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, We were chosen, we were adopted, and we were redeemed. And our sins were forgiven, and our soul was cleansed by the blood of Christ. And then He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence and made known the mystery of His will. Verse 10, so that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. That there would be a day that He would gather all His people together in Christ. That was the intent of the redemption. Verse 11, in whom also, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. These are some of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These are things that this moment, right now, we have these things. Right now, we have the forgiveness of sins, those of us that have trusted in Christ, and I pray that you have. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We have made known unto us the mystery of His will. We have the promise of a gathering together. We possess in this hour an inheritance incorruptible. Verse 11 there, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. This is how it came about. If you were saved, if you've been redeemed, it came about that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Saved, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. Notice verse 14. And that Holy Spirit, says verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, we already read about a redemption. What is this redemption? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Amen. We were blessed to be at a Bible conference recently and heard my pastor preach from Luke 21, verse 28, if you'll turn there. The Gospel according to Luke. Talking about the last days and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 27 says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. Amen. What a glorious day. Oh, there's all kinds of songs about mansions and streets of gold, and I can't wait to be done with a sinful body. Can't wait. Amen. What a day that will be to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a sinless body. We will have a sinless body. What a redemption. What a day that is promised to us in the Scriptures. Turn with me to the book of Romans, and we're going to spend the bulk of our time, Lord willing, in the book of Romans. And we'll begin in chapter 7. And I just, as my pastor was preaching on that passage of Scripture, it sunk into me and has continued to sink further into me since then that in Ephesians there we read that we have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we now, this hour, have a soul that's washed, that's cleansed, that's forgiven. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. And that's the only reason that I can stand in this place without the fire of God falling from heaven and consuming me. Right. That's the only reason why I can kneel on my knees and pray without the fire from heaven coming down and consuming me. that I should approach the holiest of holies at all is because of that redemption that we have received. But as we read in Luke 21 there and in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that we are waiting for another redemption, and that's the redemption of our body. And so we are two men, we find. And this is the story that plays out in Romans chapter 7, the fact that we're two men, we're a redeemed soul in an unredeemed body. And that is a problem every single day.
Amen.
Every day that's a problem. We're a redeemed man in an unredeemed body. And that's the battle that we face, and that's what is played out for us in Romans 7. He says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would," in other words, what I want to do, that I do not. The things I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, and if you are redeemed, you hate sin. What I hate, that I do.
Yes.
And this is the difficulty that we face every day in this body. If then I do that I would not, if I do things that I don't want to do, I consent to the law that it is good. And you can't consent to the law that is good until the Lord has saved you. You can't do that. You don't consent to the law that it is good unless you have a redeemed soul. Unless you have that earnest of the Spirit.
Amen.
Then you consent to the law that is good. Now verse 17. "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now be careful with that verse. Deliverance movement says that they're not responsible for some things that they do. Well, that's not the case. We're responsible, and we'll see some of that later. But verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, this body dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Yes.
In my best hours, evil is present with me."
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget our Lord and Savior, who in 40 days of fasting and in His finest hours, Satan was there hounding Him the entire time. "When I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Notice he labels these different things. He's labeled his flesh versus his inward man. "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring." We're at war today.
Amen.
Every day, we're at war. "Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And this time he refers to the flesh as his members, his extensions, his limbs. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is a redemption for the body. "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And these chapter distinctions are just there to help us find our way around. So keep reading.
Amen.
"There is therefore now," right now, "no condemnation." Because of the grace of God, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Just giving me laws would not work, because I have this flesh. God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. God has taken care of sin in the flesh. That's a blessing. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And only you know where you're at. Only you know where you're at in that in Romans chapter 7. Do you have that war within? Are you a new man within? To be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, that earnest of the Spirit that you have until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have that war happening in you, in the world, if you don't have the Spirit of God coming alongside you and a redeemed soul, you're none of His. You're lost tonight. If you only do good because of external pressures around you in church and from parents and things of that nature, and it's not coming from within, if you have no conviction within, you're lost tonight. And that's important to keep in mind. Now, if you may feel like Romans chapter 7, and that may make you doubt your salvation. And it's not intended to by Him at all. He said if back in verse number 16, He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Though sin will make you doubt your salvation, it will do that to you. Reading on, verse number 10 of chapter 8. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is our present condition. The body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and don't miss this. If you feel that Romans chapter 7 thing, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. We've received the quickening of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter number 2. And what a blessing. But ever since that day, we've had the bummer of the Spirit, or of our flesh. Against the Spirit. Every day we've had that boat anchor. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your bodies. What a blessing. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And oh, don't you feel the debt? When your flesh is compared with your spirit, don't you feel the debt? We're debtors to follow Christ. I believe we can sit and argue about this after church, but I believe I have the greatest debt. We're debtors. The inward man is redeemed. The outward man is waiting to be quickened. And because of that, oh, what a debt we feel to serve Christ in our body. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God gives us that assurance that we're in this thing, this Romans chapter 7 problem, that we have a redeemed soul in an unredeemed body. And the Spirit beareth witness with us. And if that's the case, he says in verse 17, if that's the case, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed within us. Now we often hear that verse preached, and I've preached it myself completely out of context, but the context of verse 18 is chapter 7. I reckon that the war that takes place between my soul and my spirit is not worthy to be compared with the glory. Oh, the glory of the time when God reveals glory in us, in this flesh, when we have a redeemed flesh as well. Notice verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature there, the original creation, the flesh, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What a blessing.
Amen.
You and I are hooked to the same boat anchor. One day the creature itself will have all that my soul has in Ephesians chapter 1. Adoption, redemption. It will have the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We're in this war. We groan and travail. And not only us, but it says the whole creation, since the fall of man, has been under the bondage of corruption. And one day the whole creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What a blessing. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We've received the redemption of our soul, and that is a precious, precious thing. We don't want to in any way belittle that tonight. We're chained to this body, and we groan within ourselves. Let's be honest. We've lost the ability to be honest in our churches. I don't know how this took place. The book of James says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. We've lost that ability to do that. If we're honest, we all have this in common. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. God didn't make our salvation visible because we're saved by faith in this day that we live in. But if we hope that for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is not, don't get to thinking that this is so horribly bleak. Because we've got the Spirit of God that helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. We don't even know what we should pray in this body. But the Spirit helpeth. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We groan in the Spirit. As long as we're in this body, we groan. And the Holy Spirit of God groans all the more on our behalf. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we've got the Spirit groaning on our behalf. We've got the intercessor interceding on our behalf. As long as we're in this body, we've got the Lord Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit groaning on our behalf. And this is the context of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all things work together for them that are stuck in this sinful body. The Holy Spirit is working on their behalf. Jesus Christ is working on their behalf. And that is the context. Well, what a wonderful context for Romans 8:28. Oh, the promise of it was wonderful, the way we often just throw it around when somebody's in a trial. We say, oh, everything works together for good. Oh, but it's so much sweeter than that.
Right.
It works together for the good of us who are stuck in sinful, unredeemed bodies. What a blessing. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What a blessing. Oh, how wonderful it is to see Romans 8:28 in that light. Everything working on behalf of those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we often, at least I always often went to Romans 8:29 to preach predestination, but it's sweeter than that. It says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. We don't just have a predestinated soul. But we've been predestinated to be like Christ. What a blessing.
Amen.
Part of our predestination was that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That He might be firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, above that, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. Oh, in this flesh, we don't feel very justified. You know, it gets to weighing us down. And its desires. And its failures. But those that are called, those that are predestinated, are justified. And whom He justified, them He glorified. What shall we say to these things, if God be for us? Who can be against us? I know it seems kind of bleak at first when we begin to think about the idea of having a redeemed soul in an unredeemed body. But don't you understand? Everything that's working on your behalf. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not also freely give with Him give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Do we fail? Are we chargeable? Yeah. Is it covered? It is. It's taken care of. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It was God that stated the justification. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? He keeps asking these questions. Who shall lay anything to the charge? Who shall condemn? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There isn't anything. Though at times when we stumble and we are in this flesh, we feel separated from the love of Christ. It's not possible. It is not possible. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? There is no circumstance that can change the love of Christ towards you. You know, when I sin and I stumble in my flesh, I shock myself, you know. But we serve an eternal God who knew the end from the beginning. I like the verse, and it is well, my sin not in part, but the whole. It was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. We need to understand the condition that we live in. We have a redeemed soul. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. We have an unredeemed body. And that's difficult at times. Lord willing, we'll preach a little more on some of the perils concerning that, but it's not our point this evening. It's just our point to lay that out. If the Bible says in Luke 21 and verse 28, to look up, your redemption draweth nigh, that means to a degree we're unredeemed at this hour. Not our soul, but our body. Finishing out Romans 8 there. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We don't fare well in this war all the time. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Grace covers it all. Through him that loved us. Every day of my life, I'm a failure. Every day. Every message preached, a failure. But through Christ, we're more than conquerors. He more than makes up the difference. Furthermore, Paul said in verse 38, for I am persuaded, I have been convinced. I'm convinced. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. There's no quantity. There is nothing. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that we would understand that. He began in Romans chapter 7, giving an analogy in the first few verses about being bound to the law, and then because of death, you are loosed from the law, just like someone who is married. When their spouse dies, they're loosed from that marriage and loosed from that law. And in verse 6, he says, but we are now delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in a newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Back in verse 4, he said, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We've been freed from the effects of the law of God by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be married to him, that we should serve in a newness of spirit. Oh, what a spirit that this ought to bring about to us, understanding this redemption, understanding this relationship, and understanding that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. What a joy. And what a spirit that ought to bring about in us. Yes, we groan and travail in pain until now, waiting for the redemption of our body. But at the same token, how that ought to make us stand in awe of grace every day. That is the condition that we are subject to, that God saw fit in eternity to leave us in that condition, and it causes us to stand in awe of the grace of God. And understand that all things work together for the good of them that love God, that are in this condition. It may be miserable at times, it may be difficult at times, to be subject to the bondage of corruption in this flesh. And we feel like Romans 7 verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It is so strange that he can go from verse 24 to verse 25, "I thank God. I thank God." When he considers this warfare, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." My pastor preached a series of messages. Don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck in verse 24. Because God has a plan. And keep on reading to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And again, we in no way do we want to overshadow the redemption of our soul that we have received. If you're here tonight and you are unredeemed, I pray that the Lord would work in your life, that He would open up your eyes and cause you to see the fact that you are unredeemed. And what a scary place that is to be. Unredeemed. It's one thing to have an unredeemed body. Oh, but how terrifying to have an unredeemed spirit. Your soul stands this hour unredeemed, lost, with no hope. Pray that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. In no way do we want to overshadow the importance of that. And to those that are saved, understand the battle that you're in. Understand the condition of living in an unredeemed body. How it ought to cause us to wonder in the grace of God. Ought to cause us to want to live more carefully, more circumspectly, more consciously of the dangers that we're in every moment. Of the warnings that are in chapter 7, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But don't get stuck in downcast. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All of that, written with a full knowledge of chapter 7, where we dwell every day. What a blessing. That all things work together for us, who can't do what we want to do, who don't do what we should do. What a blessing. The grace of God. I pray again that if you're lost, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your soul would be redeemed. What a burden lifted to have a redeemed soul. And it's not long after the Lord imparts new life into you that you begin to realize that you're attached to a boat anchor, this old, unredeemed flesh. And we have struggles, but don't get stuck there. Let it be a reason of rejoicing in the grace of God and in the power of the Spirit of God. We'll stop there.
Let's stand.